The big elephant in the room is that little Twitter tweet or X tweet that went viral. It's hilarious because I was overhearing you and then we started shooting the shit. And then like later that day, I saw this 15-year-old kid make this huge tweet about how active income is so shitty. Preston and Cox, like, what are they doing?
This is before I had a Lambo. I said, I daily a Lambo. I live in abundance every day. I'm unstoppable.
I drove 8 hours on my birthday, turning 20 years old, to live on a stranger's couch for 2 months, right? And learn from the kid that actually closed me on the 5K, right? And he was 21, I was 19. He was making like 14K a month, bro, right? Nothing. And I was like, I was fucking just seeing checks for 7K in 2 weeks. When you're making $2,000 as, you know, a month, you're like, if you can do that, I know I could do that. So I started, I've never worn a fucking turtleneck in my life. I bought a bunch of turtlenecks because he would wear turtlenecks. I'd wake up when he woke up. Bro, if you go on my Instagram, scroll down far enough. Bro, I'd pull up to Chipotle in a fucking chrome gold Lamborghini and people would be all disappointed when I'd get out. They'd think, you know, Travis Scott's getting out or something.
I was in LA for 30 days of 8-hour coaching every single day for 30 days straight. I took one sentence away from that entire investment that changed my entire life. One sentence. I'll give it to you right now. But that was worth way more. It made me more than fucking 200 G's and I paid 20K. And I went through 30 days of 8 hours of coaching, whatever that math is, that's a lot of hours. And I only got one sentence that I stuck with and I ran with, bro. And it went like this. He said,
Back in bold, buenos tardes from Bogota, another beautiful day. I'm with an interesting dude here. We met actually in this building. Nice building, right?
Yeah, I like it. It's mid, but you know, it's not.
It's mid. Oh, it's not five star. Okay. No, but he was sitting down with his little team. Or not little, I don't think. It's pretty big. And they were talking about the Sneeko and some online funnel active income. And I'm like, damn. I said, homie, you guys are talking loud. Like, put some mics on. You don't want the wrong person to hear about this. And then we started shooting the shit. He's a Cali boy, and he's done quite well for himself. Now he's out here in Bogota. You know, you're doing high ticket sales, and then now you're kind of going to the next step, right? You're building these websites and helping Sneeko, who's freaking huge. So,
yeah, we're trying to change the world, bro. Impact, you know, impact. That's it. Provide the most amount of value for the most affordable price on the internet. That's it.
And before this, though, you were high ticket sales. Now, I've seen this all over the Twitter and people saying these young kids making so much money, but no one really quite explains it. Are you just selling someone else's courses or what's kind of going on here?
That's a great question, bro. So it's a $129 billion industry right in front of everyone's face. And most people don't even know it exists, right? There's a lot of bullshit on the internet. There's the real deal and there's everything in between. But you can't help but go on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You see these cats pop up all the time, right? They're like, hey, I'm Bobby. Click the link. I'll teach you Amazon. I'll teach you Shopify, right? You see all that shit. So basically, bro, what it is there's these gurus, these coaches, these guys who have decades of experience. And essentially, they monetize their experience, their trials and errors, and they sell it for an expensive price, anywhere from $2,000, $5,000, upwards of $50,000 to people on the internet, right? For coaching, mentorship, whatever. And then you come in as a high ticket closer. You're that middleman. You close the deal and earn a commission, right? So it's commission based work. And that's where I started.
Yeah, you told me you were 19 years old and you clicked the link.
Yeah.
And go through that story, paying like $5,000. And then a couple years you had a Lamborghini. Kind of. Now, this to me, though, I mean, and I've talked to you a couple times. I think you're pretty genuine. You're from California, though. I don't really trust many Cali boys. But this story is, you know, I've heard it so many times. Oh, I saw the link, it changed my life, now I have a Lamborghini. But kind of really dive into the realness of it.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. So I just kind of start from the beginning, bro. When I was in and out of jail in high school, kind of had a drug problem, bro, like growing up. And whatever I could get my hands on, you know. But there was a day I actually got help, went to rehab, cleaned up, got sober. And I started working at a grocery store, bro. And I'll never forget, I feel like it was yesterday. I'm bagging groceries. I still know some of the plural codes. And homeboy pulls up in a fucking Phantom Rolls Royce. Had to be your age, bro, 25, 26. And I just remember him going through my line. I didn't have the balls to, you know, say anything to him. But I was just like, what the fuck does this guy know that I don't know, right? What do you know that I'm, what am I doing wrong? So since that day, bro, I just started clicking everything I saw on the internet. I did multiple
MLMs, you know, like multi-level marketing where you got to recruit motherfuckers. Dude, I did Melaleuca. I did Legal Shield. I don't know if you know Legal Shield. It was like a
product, right?
There was this Forex one I did for a little bit. I tried a digital marketing agency for like $1,000 or something. I was just trying everything, bro. Finally, I saw, it's actually kind of funny. I thought I was showing up to an interview, but it was a sales call, right? And, you know, somebody reached out to me on Instagram because I was joining all these Facebook groups. And he said, hey, you, I saw an ad. First, it was IBC, Inbound Closing, right? Accelerator with, I think the name was like Peyton and Taylor Welsh back in the, I'm pretty sure that was his name. I could be wrong. I started with them for a couple $100, got in the network, and then I got reached out to. And I thought it was a job opportunity. They said, hey, you looking for an opportunity? And I was like, fuck yeah. You know, I pull up in a colored shirt. I get on a Zoom call and it was a sales pitch. And the kid's 21, I'm 19, right? And I'm in San Diego living at a halfway house at the time. It's called an SLE, sober living environment, right? And the dude's like, yeah, so Casey, at the end of this call, I'm probably gonna ask you for more money than anybody's ever asked you for in your life. And I was like, huh? He's like, yes, it's $5,000. Okay. But if I could show you a real way to create a multiple six figure income anywhere in the world, obviously you could justify investing $5,000 if that was real. Right. And I'm like, fucking yeah. He said, what would you need to see to justify spending $5,000 today to get started with us? I said, show me your bank account, show me your ID, and show me your last paycheck. And he did all three. And then he showed me the industry. And I was 19, bro. I didn't have $5,000. I went on a payment plan. He's like, we'll work with you on the money, whatever. I got started. And the guy's name was Mike Barron, the guru, right? Not who I talked to. That was one of his sales reps. I'm wearing his fucking wristbands still, right? Mike Barron. I got C with the top of my arm. And so it takes me about 6 weeks to go through his course. And it was like a staffing agency where they basically guarantee job placement. And I was like, okay, how do you guarantee a job? Well, you can't do that if you suck, right? So they gotta make sure you can swim before they throw you in the water type vibe. So I go through the deal and they place me with like a fitness gym owner, and I had to like promise fit pros like 2 to 3 new clients a month. I didn't like it. I ended up closing deals for the guy that sold me, right? So I actually went to go sell the five. I'm sorry, Mike Barron. So the $5,000 that I paid, I was selling the $5,000 offer, the same one I went through, just because I knew it worked and I had seen testimonies, I'd seen results, right? And I knew, I understood it was a staffing agency, right? I got placed and they fulfilled on everything they promised. So that was my first ever offer.
Where did you get placed? You got a job?
Yeah, they placed me. It was an online, like fit pros, like basically helping personal trainers grow their online businesses, right? And it was like a $12,000 package. I didn't have a lot of success with it. Didn't like it. Only did it for a couple of weeks. And then they were like, hey, bro, just come close deals over here. And yeah, so I got started with Mike. The first year I did about $1.6 million collected revenue for him.
Just selling the
$5,000 product. It went, sometimes it was $5,000, sometimes it was $10,000. They played with the price. Right, it's averaged at like $7,500, and I made about 10%, right, in my first year, so over six figures. At 19, 20 years old at the time, I was like, all right, so, you know.
Especially going to my halfway house.
Exactly, I'm like, yo, this is what I do now. But there were very few people on the team that actually made that kind of money. The thing about me is I was always like, anything I did, I would always go hard as hell, bro. When I was a bagger at the grocery store, when I was a cashier, they had my name on the wall for fastest items per minute, like in the history of the fucking Safeway, right? I was there early, I'd show up late. So when I went into the business, I was like, I understood that your rewards are an exact proportion of your contribution to the service. Nobody can tell you how much you're worth other than you, right? And so I was like, oh, bro, I'm ripping heads off. I'm gonna come in here and beat everybody. Like, find me the top guy.
That's the addictive personality, you know? I think a lot of dudes, if they just translate that drug addiction to the sales and whatnot, they do very well. But here's what I'm really curious about, these courses, because I'm never the type to pay for any of this stuff, you know? Like, I'm like, why the fuck am I going to give you $5,000? You know, it's the same stuff on the internet. This industry is, a lot of people are still paying that, though, right? They're looking for answers. I mean, how are you selling these people? Like, kind of break it down of how are you getting some dude to fork over $5,000 to a 21-year-old, 19-year-old kid? Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So
So, bro, I studied the art of persuasion, right? But I understand that the more you learn, the more you earn, right? And so it's not like.
Hold on. Who's the top persuasive teacher? So you know.
Oh, dude. I mean, there's like, are you talking about legends that like? Oh, which you're not talking about Uncle.
New one, Persuasion is fantastic. But
wait, what? What's his name? I gotta.
Cialdini?
You gotta give me that, bro.
Here, I'll show you.
I'm addicted to learning, bro.
Okay, here we go. Influence, psychology of persuasion. It's like Robert Cialdini. Never pronounce his name.
Oh, I've heard of him. Hold on, let me take a picture of that. Yeah. So,
Who are you learning from?
Dog, name it. Tom Hopkins was a big one. Alex Hormozi, I ended up paying. Mike Barron. I mean, Mike Barron used to actually work with Grant Cardone. You know, Grant, Uncle G. I paid him fucking like $37,000. But, you know, just hearing different perspectives and understanding people and how they move and how they operate, right? And adding that with a process. But the biggest key to selling is transparency. You know, and just being authentic. These are human beings you're dealing with every single day, you know, and it's not like, people are very fucking smart. People are very intelligent. And if they try and if they know or think or even feel like you're trying to get one over on them, it's not going to work. But if you're just transparent as a book and you just actually believe in your product or service at the highest level, and you know for a fact, if he gets off the call, you're doing him a disservice. Like you have you believe in it so crazy that if he doesn't buy, you're fucking this guy for life, right? And you have that kind of passion towards it, it's, you can bounce through objections. Like the other day, I went through 15 no's and then 5 can full, you know? So it's because I know I can help him at the highest level. And when I was on that Zoom call being asked for $5,000, I was giving him objection after objection after objection, and if he didn't get me out of my own way, I would be asking if you want a paper or plastic bag with your groceries right now.
Okay, but the percentage of the people you sold, what do you think it was a positive benefit on them, right? Because here's my thing. You're from California. You know, you're an ex-addict. You can speak really good, you know what I mean? But I still don't know you if you're, you know, truly genuine, right? So it'd be very hard for me to be like, yeah, let's just fork this over. Maybe you're on the phone so they can't tell, and you're just, because some of the best salespeople are psychopaths, you know what I mean? You know, you got the Patrick Batemans and shit, right? So, but what percentage of all the selling you did do you think had a positive impact on these people?
Okay, so positive impact and actually got the results they were hoping for are two different questions. I believe everybody got a positive impact. Obviously, you're going to have a bad apple now and then. How many people actually made multiple six figures and are financially free, locationally free? I'd say 1%.
So those people did it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story, bro, with a grandkid and his grandson, and they're walking on a beach, right? And a storm came the day before, and there's thousands of starfish as far as you could see on the shore, right? And the kid's just picking up the starfish, throwing them in the ocean. And the grandfather stops him. He says, hey, like, you know you can't save all of them, right? And the grandson looks at his grandfather, looks at the starfish, throws the starfish in the ocean, and he said, I saved that one, right? So out of the hundreds, out of the thousands of people that I've gotten started with some sort of online product or program, the hundreds of people that have gotten the results that are now able to go and influence thousands of people themselves, it's worth it. Right. Even if you can, if 99 people, bro, don't get the results they were hoping for, it, I know it's not my fault. I know we deliver at the highest level. I know that the only reason they didn't get it is because, bro, it's hard work. You know, it's, you got to show up. You got to show up and show out. Right. But the one guy that does get it and he takes a selfie video and says, Casey Cox changed my life. And he's at his store, at his place of work saying, I quit. Like, shout out Casey Cox. I've never fucking, he made $3,000 in 2 days, right? Shout out Arthur Brown. You know what I mean? It's like, that's purpose. That's impact. You know what I mean?
I would defend this by saying, Yes, like we'll talk about the active income thing with Sneeko, is you can find a lot of this shit online. But if you aren't paying, you know, just like you pay for the university and whatnot, and it's all put together in packages for you, and you can network, it's worth it, right? You could give someone the most free stuff in the world. I can download basically all your stuff that you have on your website, send it to someone, they won't do nothing with it. But if you got money behind it, if you're invested in it, I think there's a psychological play involved with that. So, like the Hustlers University thing, or now the real world, I did a podcast with a dude, an old dude, like 50 years old, who learned all about the UGC, you know, he's connected with their little professors, user-generated content, and he was making like 30 grand in his first 2 months with it. And I said, show me proof, and he showed me proof. And I was like, you could find UGC, like YouTube videos everywhere. Yeah. But the fact that he was invested in it, he was talking to these professors, these people, you know, he actually did action with it. Yeah. You know, so that's a huge part to any of these courses and online selling things.
Yeah, and it's people who pay attention, right? Yeah. Because money is a representation of energy, right? If I gave you a ticket for a show right now and it was free, you would have no incentive to go. But if you paid $100 for that ticket, you're like, I'm probably going to show up to this concert or whatever the hell, right? Because you're invested into it emotionally, now physically. You know what I mean? And bro, you can get information on the internet, but 9 times out of 10, you get 99 pieces of the puzzle or one piece of the puzzle. 99 pieces of the puzzle is even worse, right? But the truth is, you're not just paying for information. Information changes situations. So the only difference between me, you, and anybody listening is the information that we're operating right now, like what we're operating on right now, what we know, right? You're paying for access, right? You're paying for access to people who have already gone through the bullshit. You're buying time. It's the same reason a chick will fucking, you know, get a tummy tuck instead of going to the gym for 8 months. Right? She could easily do that, or she could pay and get better, or if not the same, or if not better results just from fucking paying, right? But it's people who pay attention.
Related back to traveling, if I would have paid someone when I first started out traveling, I would have saved myself thousands and thousands of dollars, of hours, of fuck ups. So back then I wanted to, I'm just gonna do this all my own, you know, see where the chips fall. But looking back now, when all these people hit me up about, hey, how did you start traveling? What destination should I go to? It's like, damn, you should probably give someone, you know, a little consulting fee and then save yourself hours and hours of issues down the line. So yeah. I'm definitely learning that as I get older. I'm very independent and, you know, think I know everything type of attitude. But, okay, you were selling. Now, you're 23, right?
Yep, just turned 23.
So you've only been doing this for like 4 years, and now you've parlayed into creating websites and almost a university for people with the Sneeko, who's freaking huge. How did you transition from the sales guy for Mike Barron to getting to where you are now? I think you run the agency, right? Or you're the one?
So, beginning of last year, about 11 months ago, I broke off from Mike. Basically, my head got too big. Lamborghini, all this stuff. I'm like, yo, let me just go run my own deal. And then I became one of those guys that you see popping up. Hey, you want to quit the fucking 9 to 5? You know, click the link, right? Yeah, the Matrix, right? So I ran my own deal. I did that for about 4 months, grabbed a little under $500,000, right, with 3 guys, right, and selling a high-ticket closing course. It was pretty much the same offer that I had already done. And I actually paid Mike $50,000, right? So instead of 5K, add a zero to that. Right, when I broke off of him for his systems, his funnels, his intellectual property, the shit that, like, there's a difference between a business and a company. And he taught me that, right? A business is a dude with an LLC and a Stripe account. A company is a 6-7 division organization with departments within each division, marketing, fucking sales, HR, all that stuff. So I ran that up. Now I went from making 60 to 70K a month down to like, on paper, it looks like over 100K a month, but now you got profit margins. And now you're only making actually like 30 or 40% of that, right? And then I met my business partner, Mateo, who I believe, I don't know if you met him, maybe you saw him, but he's the COO for Active Income. He runs all the behind the scenes stuff. He runs the Amazon offer himself. And when we met, he took me from like a 20, 30% profit to a 60% profit in a 30-minute Zoom call, right? Just from telling me, I mean, bro, I was a sales guy. I wasn't a business owner. My fucking videographer had equity in my company. You know what I mean? So I was just stupid with expenses, and he saved fucking hundreds of thousands of dollars for me. So I was like, boom, here's equity. We partner up, and he later introduces me to Preston, Sneeko's manager. I saw Sneeko as when I met him, bro, I was kind of nervous to see if, you know, if he was going to be a different person than the guy you see online. He's one of the guys that is the same dude, bro. And that's why I mess with Sneeko so hard, is like, he's exactly who you think he is. You know, obviously, he's got a big presence and a big audience. And really, he's an entertainer, bro. But I know he doesn't pretend to be the high ticket closing expert. He doesn't pretend to be that. Exactly. He's the networking expert. He's been in the rooms with some of the most powerful people in the world, literally. Right. So I was like, OK, my purpose, bro, I believe God gave me a gift, the gift of gab. Right. And I believe that I'm here to impact people and help them hit their potential. Right. I know I can only reach so many people with my own audience. Right? Sneeko's mission was to provide the most amount of value for the most affordable price on the internet, right? After meeting him, getting to know his true intentions, bro, it just made sense. It was perfect. And now we incorporated the high ticket closing in under active income, right? So we're able to help people at a way bigger reach that I would not have been able to do without Sneeko, right? Does that make sense?
I mean, the big elephant in the room is that little Twitter tweet or X tweet that went viral. And so it's hilarious because I was overhearing you and then we started shooting the shit. And then like later that day, I saw this 15-year-old kid make this huge tweet about how active income is so shitty. Preston and Cox, like, what are they doing? So what happened with that, bro? People were going after you about your launch of the active income.
Yeah, well, I mean, bro, full transparency.
If I did that. Wow. Okay, hold on. So, full transparency?
Yeah, so, full transparency, bro. First off, he had a big ask, right? And we didn't end up hiring him. And so that was, he was not happy, right? He was not happy, right? Second off, this was our first time launching something at this scale. We had tested the Mighty, the main platform where we use the where we host all the information, right? We've tested it hundreds of times, right? And Mateo and Preston, I mean, it was pretty much foolproof. And the day of launch, dog, it was just fires. It was just fires because our system crashed. Like, we couldn't get a hold of Mighty. It was literally New Year's, right? So it was like we couldn't fix a lot of the problems that we needed to. So it was definitely an unexpected. We did not have the success we thought on day one. However, right? I mean, as far as numbers go and people that were able to actually get inside the inner circles, bro, I think it was a great success, right? But from the outside looking in, it didn't really look like that. Yeah, there was some. True. I mean, he said some things like we're partying in Colombia, bro. We've been grinding nonstop every single day for, I mean, months on this deal, right? So doesn't really know what he's talking about. He's a young kid. He got upset because, you know.
He asked me, hey, where do you even get drinks around here? I haven't left my place yet. He didn't even know what Zona T was in Bogota. I was like, damn.
Bro, we've been in the lab, bro. We've been in the lab. So, you know, I think it's like anything that you're going to launch a startup company and at this kind of scale, dude, there's bound to have, like, shit's bound to go wrong, you know? But I think we did a great job of recovering. Next 48 hours, bro, we're back up and running, and dog, it's amazing right now, right? And every single day, everything inside of active income is just getting stronger. Everybody that's in there is already having results. They're already getting, like, we have like 50 testimonies already. It's been like a week, 2 weeks, right? So, dude, I'm super excited to what's to come. The tweet, bro, like, yeah, it went viral, but I mean, all publicity is good publicity. You know, that's all I got to say about that.
Look at this. It's going, right? It's just acting like that. I don't know why it keeps. Yeah, so it's just freezing around. Yeah, the way you guys responded, that's amazing. You know what I mean? Obviously, you get attacked left and right, especially when there's some bias involved. And I don't know what's inside the active income and so forth. But usually when those road bumps happen, if you just burst past them, everyone forgets about it and you move on. Plus, so, I mean, like you said, you were a sales guy this whole time. This is the first massive type of course, website, funnel thing you've been doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Absolutely. I don't pretend to be the ops guy. I don't pretend to be the funnels guy. That's what Preston and Mateo are experts in, you know? I just know how to persuade at a high level, and that's what I teach inside of Active Income.
Now, yeah, let's talk about this active income. So what exactly is it? Is it just the copycat of the Hustlers University, the real world? What makes it different?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not at all, bro. So it's completely different. What's similar is the access, right? I mean, that's the whole point in like the real world is being around, you know, like-minded individuals who are at a higher level with similar goals and, you know, iron sharpens iron. There's a 33% rule that I live by. 33% of your time needs to be spent with guys on the same level as you, right? With same goals, similar aspirations. 33% of your time needs to be spent with people on another level that, you know, you don't even understand. It doesn't mean they're better than you, but they definitely make more than you, and they talk to you a way that you don't want to be talked to, but it's a different kind of level of accountability, right? And then 33% of your time spent bringing up those who want it, those who are reaching, right? And inside of active income, that's what it's about. You have all three. We don't have professors, we have industry leaders, right? We have like the best in the world at what they do. Like, right? For example, we have a crypto mentor, right? Named Ghost, right? He's anonymous, but he's got, I mean, over 1500 Bitcoin, and he teaches people how to identify a coin, kind of like wholesale, where it's like wholesale real estate, where it's like, you know, fix and flips. You find like a rundown place, you invest into it, you make it look pretty, and then you flip it, right? He teaches a similar strategy in crypto, right? Finding a coin that could use some help. They have a good team, good development team. He teaches you how to get in contact with the developers, right? Actually grow that bag and then pull out, right? But without being like a pump and dump, because you're not like the influencer. It's not like a promotion. It's some high level shit, and I'm not doing it justice by explaining it right now. That's just one example.
How much you pay that guy?
He's an investor. So we don't pay him on a salary. Like, he's actually one of the owners of Active Income, right? And he's industry leader, right? Same thing with Amazon, right? Mateo is an industry leader when it comes to Amazon. His own store does over $500,000 a month, you know, and he has 40 plus stores, hundreds of students who are making over $10,000 a month.
This is always the big pushback and why I asked how much you're paying that guy, because if these dudes are making so much money, they got 1,500 bitcoins, why the fuck would they try to get $5,000 a month coaching in one of these things?
Question. Yeah, that's actually a great question. And I actually asked them that same question on a live call with all their students, right? I was like, yo, why are you here right now? Why are you not on a beach with your feet up, you know, doing whatever you want? He's like, well, I was for the last 5 years. I've been retired. Yeah, that's literally what he said, right? He's like, now I'm here for purpose. I need a new game to play. I'm here for impact, here to help people that were once like me, right? And it's kind of the same with Sneeko. I mean, Sneeko doesn't need the money. He's got a stupid contract with Rumble, right? He's here for purpose, like impact. How many people can we help at the highest level?
You honestly believe that?
I do. After talking to Sneeko, bro, and finding out his intentions and seeing what he's doing elsewhere, like, the dude's all in on the deal. He's meeting up with anybody that gets started with active income, and I'm like, hey, I need you to like meet this dude. He'll jump on a fucking Zoom call. I'll FaceTime Sneeko, and he's involved. He wants to be a part of the community, and he wants to give people his decade of experience to hopefully shorten that time gap it takes for them to get the same kind of success.
Yeah. So what are the different tiers here, you know, paying for the active income? Kind of go through that.
Yeah, bro. Well, the truth is we haven't lost anybody because of price. Okay. Period, point blank. We're looking for people who are serious about doing what it takes to get to the next level in their life, right? If they're willing to put in the work, dog, we don't care about their current financial situation. That's why they get started, is to improve their finances, right? So, tiers, bro, get on the call with somebody from our team and we'll help you figure out a customized roadmap to what it is you're even looking to do. I'll be the first one to tell you, active income is not for everybody. Shit does not happen overnight. It's not rainbows and unicorns like everybody hopes, right? You got to put in fucking work, right? But if that's somebody that, if you're ready for that, right? And you know that, hey, if I just had the right guidance and actually knew where to start, active income is for you.
What's the target market? Like, be specific. Because I know some of these people are going after 14, 15-year-old kids with their parents' credit card. And some of those kids, I mean, I've seen case studies, it's worked out. But who are you going after here? Are you guys throwing the ads out to Leave the Matrix and that type of community? Or how exactly are you targeting people for active income?
Yeah, that's another good question. So we're not really, hold on, is this, yeah, there we go. So, anybody who wants it, I believe truth down, like deep down in my core, bro, we could help a 16-year-old kid, we could help a 69-year-old woman. I've helped both, right? 16-year-old girl, Trisha, whose mom got her started for my deal way back when, who did 40 grand in sales, taking 10% of that in the first like 2 weeks, all the way to a 69-year-old woman, Elizabeth, right, whose husband had dementia, cussed me out and shit, but you know, it took her like 11 months to finish everything because she, you know, kept failing the practicals, but she passed and she made like 5-6 grand in her like second or third month closing for a millionaire beauty academy, teaching women how to like start salons and shit like that for 12K, and she would sell that, get commission, right? So we can help anybody. I know the information in there is crazy, bro. We're not saying, you know, escape the matrix. We're targeting people, bro, who know that they're built for more and are willing to do what it takes to get to that level. That's it.
I kind of switch things off here, go more personal with you. So when you made all this money at a young age, you started flexing, you know, doing that kind of lifestyle. What are the lessons that you kind of learned from it? Because obviously when we're kids, you know, we're seeing the Lamborghinis, we're seeing all this stuff, and oh, it'd be so cool, the woman and so forth. And I didn't have a Lamborghini at 19 years old. So I'm really curious what that did to your brain and what you learned about it after.
Yeah, so I got it when I was 20, and to be honest with you, bro, I dailied it for a year. I wrapped it gold. I was like, bro, I'd pull up to Chipotle in a fucking chrome gold Lamborghini, and people would be all disappointed when I'd get out. They'd think, you know, Travis Scott's getting out or something. But anyways, bro, to be real with you, it fucked me up, bro, for a little bit. There was a point when, like, I was at the highest and I was at the lowest at the same time. Was when I like got, you know, I broke up with my girl. I was like driving in this Lamborghini, bro. I had lost pretty much all my friends, you know, because I could tell you what they're doing right now, you know, same shit they were doing 4 years ago. And, you know, it's like the demons don't go away, bro. If you don't have gratitude, if you don't have, you know, affirmations, you're going to be on a never ending wheel. Yeah, bro. So, bro, if I open this shit up, here, hold this real quick. If I open this up, you'll see I've been writing my goals, and I just, success leaves clues, bro. And if a billionaire is gonna write his goals every single day, if every millionaire I know writes his goals every day, bro, I'm gonna write my goals fucking every single day.
You got the Indiana Jones notebook too. Where'd you get that from?
Shit, Amazon, bro. Just look up. Okay, okay. Bro, look, this is before I had a Lambo. I said, I daily a Lambo. I live in abundance every day. I'm unstoppable. Success is my duty. I'm healthy and work out daily. I operate out of love in all my affairs. I'm a leader. I travel the world. I make 100K a month. I'm on another frequency. I'm out of the matrix. I play chess, not checkers. I'm the realest motherfucker alive.
When'd you write this?
This is back in 2021, bro. Yeah. And then it goes, jumps to 2022. And then, yeah. So, once I started my own company, I kind of stopped doing this for a while, but I brought it back. I definitely brought it back. But to go back to what I was saying, bro, it's like, you're going to be on a never-ending wheel if you're not grateful for what you have. That's just, and it sounds corny, it sounds easy to say, you know, but I remember my first time going to Colombia, bro, I was like, bro, I don't need you can't even wear a Rolex out here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you get fucking killed, you know? So I'm like, it was like a humbling thing where it's like, bro, sometimes, I know I could go to Thailand right now and live like a king for 10K a month. And you're just king. My boy lives out there. He's got a compound, full-time security, armed guard, lives there, 3 maids, and he pays like $2,000 a month. So I'm like, yeah, bro, I think it was cool because I got to experience the money and the lifestyle. But after doing it, it's like, you know, that's not the end all be all.
And this is a big thing for people to understand, because usually they work their whole freaking life to get the Lamborghini at 60 or to do something crazy, exotic vacations, and they get it and they're like, holy shit, I spent all that time, all that focus, and I feel empty inside. Yeah. I had this experience in Florianapolis in Brazil, bro. I was living on the beach, having a different girl every other day, getting hundreds of pieces of sushi delivered, drinking the best vino you could find in Brazil. And literally after a month, I was like, holy fuck, bro, this is what I envisioned as a kid. Like, you know, maybe it was in Miami, you know, Floripa is better than Miami in my opinion, but this is it. Like, this is not as cool as I thought it was going to be, and I feel empty. So I definitely think The key is gratitude, of course, 100%, but also always having some sort of purpose, right? Yeah. I get that purpose from creating this stuff on Bold Perceptions, you know, making a difference in people's lives, but also from American football. That's the reason I still do this half of the year, because when you're playing a sport, bro, it's life simplified. It's you and your teammates on one goal, right? Yeah. To go win the championship. And it in normal life, bro, like people say, oh, I want the Lamborghini, I want the model, I want to do this. And it's just like, there's so many avenues in normal life, you don't clear cut your purpose, right? And when you don't have that purpose figured out, bro, you get lost in the sauce real quick. So that was, I've definitely felt this, not at your level. Like I said, I've never had a Lamborghini, but I've lived quite an amazing life, and it's definitely not as cooked up as it is made seem, you know, online. And it's sad because 99% of the people in this world, that is their envision of success and happiness and whatnot. And then once you finally feel it, you realize why a bunch of billionaires are depressed. You realize why these celebrities go fucking crazy.
Yeah. And I just want to say this, bro. Money makes you more of who you actually are. Right? And they say success is, and I got this on my vision board, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Meaning there's motherfuckers at McDonald's more successful than both of us, bro. You know, because they found the worthy ideal, they're happy, they go to church, they got two kids, they, you know, they got their white picket fence, and that's their ideal scene, and that's that. And they're happy, and I'm jealous of them, right? And to anybody listening, I just want to say this, bro. It's anybody could do this shit, but you got to make a decision. If you do what's easy in life, your life is going to be hard. If you do what's hard in life, your life's going to be easy, right? You got to put yourself through the fucking struggle, bro, right? If you wanted God to, if you wanted God to make, like, a tough, like a savage human being, would you have God put him through like the easiest life? No, you'd put him through fucking hell, right? And he'd come out of there walking through the flames with a smile, knowing consciously that he's been through it, and you know he knows what he's capable of, right? So you got to put yourself in fucking tough situations, bro. That's why I'm in a cold shower every single day, and that was a fucking hard thing for me to do, bro. It's because like I'm like, I like the only time a predator is killed in the wild is when they're comfortable. They just ate. You know, they're cozy, right? So I'm like, sometimes I'll still fight those demons, bro. I'll be in the shower and I'll be looking at that fucking handle, bro. Just like, I'll stare at it for like 30 seconds before I fucking crank it freezing cold sometimes, right? But
the high after,
and that's an example of an immediate return, right? An immediate return where you might not see it, but you know, when you're reading books and you're developing yourself into a somebody who's valuable to the marketplace, you're going to fucking get paid for what you're worth, bro. Like that's you're only as paid as what's Earl Nightingale say? He says if it's your 19 minutes that could change your life on YouTube, I recommend everybody go watch that video. I've seen it fucking 300 times. 19 minutes that could change your life by Earl Nightingale. Oh, dude, that
one. Oh,
yep. He was connected to Bob Proctor and Napoleon Hill. Yep, yeah. So, anyways, bro, your rewards in any industry will always be an exact proportion to your contribution to that industry, right? Or to your services or whatever, right? So, if you don't know where to start or you don't have any fucking money, bro, go buy a $15 book on Amazon, Think and Grow Rich. Go buy How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, right? Go start at the basics and start developing into that person, right? And you gotta put yourself into fucking hard situations. And the truth is, bro, and this is just my experience, you might have a different experience, go find a mentor. I've had 3 or 4 mentors that have completely changed my life. Somebody who's already been through the shit and actually has genuine interest in your best interest.
Go through each one and the top piece of advice that helped change you from each guy.
From my coaches?
Yeah, you said you had 3 or 4?
Oh, dude, most of my mentors are dead. They're from books, you know? But like the actual, in the big tickets, Mike Barron, first and foremost, it's Mike. Mike Barron, bro, he's taught me fucking 80% of everything I know, you know? Half of these words are fucking something I've learned from him, you know?
And the Filipino gangster, is that?
Filipino gangster, yeah. It's my big bro. And he just, bro, we'd be here for the rest of the fucking, for like another hour if I gave you everything he taught me, but that's hard, bro. That's like me saying, what's your favorite musician, bro? It's a hard, like, it's a combined thing of information. Information changes situations. He said, the
The key to the secret to success is the number one rule to success is show up. You got to show up, show up, show up, show up, show up, show up, show up on Sunday, show up on Christmas, show up on your birthday. Number one rule to success is just to fucking show up.
Bro, that's the war of art, not the art of war. He talks about that. Pressfield, Rogan has been promoting that book big time on his podcast. But he's like, dude, just fucking start writing. He's talking about being an author. Yeah. He's like, just sit down at the table and just start writing. You know what I mean? No one, just get to the table, right? That's what you're saying. Show up.
Yeah, and
same with the gym. Just go walk into the fucking gym. You don't have to say you're going to do any working out. Just walk into the gym every day, and usually you'll start working out. You know?
Bro, start in the fucking gym. That's if you can go to the gym every single day, bro, you will make money as a personal trainer eventually. Period, point blank. You don't know where to start? Bro, start in the gym and get your body right. That's like step one. If you don't know where to go, bro, get books, start in the gym, and join activeincome.com.
Right, hey, let's do some a couple different things here. So Columbia, why'd you choose here? How many times have you been here? Not many dudes. Well, it's getting popular now. Leave the USA. You know, everyone talks about it, but it's a small percentage that actually get out there and see the world and set up shop. So why Columbia for you?
This is where I met my business partner, Mateo. He actually is from Colombia. He's from Bogota. We're in his hometown right now. And I love it, bro. It's hard to go back. It's hard to go back. Okay. I mean, you heard of passport, bros. You know what I mean? There's a lot of pros. Woman is a big thing, bro. Woman is a big thing. I have my main girl with me right now. I haven't even been seeing chicks like that. The currency, I mean, bro, I'm making USD, spending pesos. You know how that is. We're in East Coast time, right? I would probably be in Thailand right now if it wasn't for the time zone. Oh. Yeah, the time zone's fucked. The food is great. You don't like the food?
No, you gotta go to different places. You think this is great?
Well, I mean,
maybe better than USA, but
yeah. I mean, bro, you'll lose weight naturally just because there's no processed fucking. It's more real foods. Currency's huge. Yeah, I guess we could talk about the women, bro. Yeah, the women's pretty. The women's pretty fucking gas out here, bro. Yeah.
Hold on. Where else have you been? And wait, why first Columbia? Just because you're a business partner?
Yeah, I haven't been that many places, to be honest with you. I've been I spent a couple, like a month in Thailand. No, not even. Probably just a couple weeks in Thailand. Recently, Bangkok. Back and forth from Medellin, Miami, Cancun. Yeah, bro, that's pretty much it.
I'm trying to go to Norway.
We were talking about that beforehand. What's the kind of future plan with the travels and the business? Are you trying to go totally digital nomadic, you know, build the active income? Do you have any other side things going on? What is kind of the next couple of years looking for? Again, you're 23, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, bro, I'm going to go see my mom for a minute. I'm a mama's boy at heart. You know, she's...
I have a question. Do you have a father in
law? I do, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about all the mentors, who should do is that they grow up with the father who lives.
Yeah, yeah. No, my dad's I don't hold anybody at a higher regard than my dad. My dad's, you know, taught me how to be a man, taught me how to be a gentleman. But, you know, my dad takes care of my mom full time. My mom's ill. So I'm going to go spend some time with her because family's fucking number one, bro. You know, and if I could be anywhere in the world, I'd be with her right now. We've been so fucking in the lab, you know, that it's like, you know, got to make sacrifices. But, I'm gonna go spend some time with her. As far as what's to come, bro, we're gonna get a home base out in Florida for sure.
Where?
Somewhere probably close to Miami, probably not in Miami, but maybe on the outskirts.
Prices have been going down.
Yeah, they have. I've saw that. And it's the aliens in the mall, bro. That's why. You know, no, I'm playing.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, we're actually gonna do an event. I think it's late February. We're gonna get like three yachts, a bunch of supercars. Everybody inside Active Income is fucking. You know, it's gonna be a party for Active Income. But just a home base because that's, you know, where Sneeko's at primarily. He's got his spot over there. He's kind of tied to Miami to a degree just because of his Rumble deal and. You know, but Sneeko wants to make as much impact human to human as possible. So I think Miami is going to be a big play in the future.
So this active income is all your focus, and you see that the rest of your focus for the next couple of years.
Yeah, bro. You know, obviously I could always run my own deal on the side. I want to impact people at the highest level. And, you know, what we do here is unlike anything else in the world. I've gone through the real world. I've gone through everything, like all that shit on the internet. I've done it, bro. I've clicked it, right? This shit does not exist anywhere, right? So my heart, my soul, it's in active income. I know Preston is too. My big bro, B-Money, you know, and Mateo, of course, Sneeko, right? We're here to make change, bro. And here, it's like the money is in effect, right? There's cause and effect. Certain laws in this game that we're playing called life, like gravity, right? We can't argue gravity is real. Cause and effect's another law, right? The more cause, the more impact, the more lives you can change, the more effect, right? But what people got twisted is they're trying to just make as much money. They're focused on the effect versus focusing at the cause. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, yeah. I think everybody does it at some point until you hear that and actually understand it, right? But listening and understanding is different, right? To know and not to do is not to know at all. Right, so it's like, if you can understand that the more impact you have, everything else will come, right? You stop chasing money, you start to attract it when you become that person.
The more you give, the more you get.
The more you give, the more you get, bro.
All right, what do you think about perception is reality? That's a huge thing I live by. I mean, bold perceptions, part of it is about, I think, therefore I am. Kind of get into that. You did the affirmations, the manifestation. Obviously, you went from an addict in a halfway house to creating quite an interesting life. How big are you into to that? The perception is reality.
Yeah, that's good, bro. Be do have, right?
Be do
have. So first you have to be, then you got to do, and then you'll have, right? So be do have, meaning like when I got started back in October 4th of 2020 with Mike, I went all in on the deal. I said, hey, if I'm gonna spend 5K, I'm gonna make this work or die trying, right? I'm not gonna spend 5 G's and fuck around, and basically, bro, I understood be, do, have. There is a guy that, like it's like this, bro. If you want to make $50,000 a month, go find somebody making $50,000 a month and do everything they do in their day-to-day affairs exactly how they do it, and eventually you're going to get what they get, right? Because you step into that person. I drove 8 hours on my birthday, turning 20 years old, to live on a stranger's couch for 2 months, right? And learn from the kid that actually closed me on the 5K. Right. And he was 21. I was 19. He was making like 14K a month, bro. Right. Nothing. And I was like, I was fucking just seeing checks for 7K in 2 weeks. When you're making 2 grand as, you know, a month, you're like, if you can do that, I know I could do that. So I started. I've never worn a fucking turtleneck in my life. I bought a bunch of turtlenecks because he would wear turtlenecks. I'd wake up when he woke up. Bro, if you go on my Instagram, scroll down far enough, you'll see the whole journey. Like, I just started waking up early. I started reading books. I had never read a book in my life. I'd started reading books other than like Diary of the Wimpy Kid, you know what I mean? In high school type shit, or fucking middle school, whatever. And I started just eating when he'd eat. I'd talk how he talked. I would walk out. I would become that person first. And then I'd start doing the actions, right? I would be, and then I would do. I would make the phone calls. I would make the cold calls. I would fucking do the actions that he was doing. And then eventually you start to have the results. Like, it's be, do, have. And manifestation is real. I don't care what anybody says, bro. It's what you put your attention on will grow, right? That's why I don't think about fucking get pulled over or getting a car accident or getting into, you know, like I don't tell myself anything fucking negative. And if there's something negative, I don't believe it. I choose not to, right? Anything, I think Andrew Tate says that. Anything that takes power away from me, I'm not going to fucking believe that. Doesn't make any sense, right? So, bro, the world, when you're in alignment and all fucking all of your dynamics of life, shit, like you start picking up litter, you don't lie, steal, cheat, you're a good fucking person, bro. You just hit green lights. Like like the world just moves out of your way, right? And you start to attract. You don't have to chase anymore. And that's the crazy part, bro. Right? But it's the small things. It's fucking writing down my goals every single day before I'd fucking start work, right? In present tense. That's a big thing. I don't write it like I will have this. I am. I do. I have. Right? I'm writing it in present tense. For a fucking year, you know what I mean? So it's manifestation's real, bro.
Yeah, my big things with affirmations, and I've had insane stories from this stuff coming true. I've been doing it for 10 years. Is right when you wake up, for me, your brain is still in like those theta, half awake, half conscious, half not.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it digs deep into your subconscious. And I have like 20 different ones. I write each one 15 times, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of them are with the I am.
Yeah.
And but I think the key is this though too. like if you're, you can't just be focused on it. Like you have to do it and feel it, right? That's a big thing about manifestation, not just saying it. Like you have to feel it in your brain, what that would feel like if you were that affirmation or that thing, and then you let it go. Because if you're the whole day focused on a Lamborghini, yeah, I think sometimes it'll work, you'll get to it, but it's like almost like you're repelling the attraction, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. And another thing I do, bro, is I would literally go to La Jolla. So I'm, bro, all this went down in San Diego, right? I've only been in Miami briefly. I would go to La Jolla O'Hara dealership, and I would just stare in the windows, bro. Like, I would do it at least once a week. Okay. I would just stare at the fucking McLarens. I put a deposit down for a McLaren, right? And then for the new Artura or whatever, and they just kept telling me months. I was like, all right, give me my deposit back, got a Lambo, right? So I'm like, I would go stare at, I still go fucking, whenever I'm in San Diego, I go to Mariah Carey's house and like just the fucking mansions, and I just stare at it, bro. And whenever I'm on a plane, I self-talk. But what you said is real, bro. I don't just self-talk, I feel it. I feel the feeling of giving my dad $100,000 in cash. I like start to, I'll start to smile and laugh because I'm literally living that fucking moment already as if it happened, right? And you do that enough times where, bro, it's what you put your attention on grows. Grant Cardone talked about that in fucking GCU, Grant Cardone University. I don't put, my wallet is in my front pocket now. I used to always have it in my back pocket for some reason. But like, why would I do that if I have my, I want my attention on it. It's right here. This is like, I focus on what's fucking in front of me, right? So whenever I pull, it's like what you put your attention on grows. I had one of my mentors' bank account as my screensaver for fucking 6 months, bro. And I just stare at fucking 120 in a month. It was 120K in a month. And I just stare at that shit, bro. Like a fucking psychopath.
But hold on. But what you just say is opposite of what I'm saying. Because if you think too much on this shit, like I think for, I mean, yeah, a good amount of people, you get it. But if you're constantly just focused on this and that, and you don't like let it go, it usually...
What do you mean let it go?
Like I said, so I do my freaking affirmations, right? I feel the emotions. I write it in the morning. After that, I go to normal life. I'm not thinking about every fucking affirmation 24/7 because I think you repel the attraction, right? They say, it's like this. If you're not getting laid and all you think about is pussy, you don't get pussy. If you don't care about pussy, boom, it comes to you in floods. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, okay, so I see what you're saying. So I don't let it go, right? I don't like write down my goals and then just forget about it. But I don't, like, I'm not operating my entire day thinking about my goals. Like I'm thinking about like what I need to do today to get there. Most people don't even fucking have goals, bro. And they don't even know where they're going. It's like I'm trying to, there's a target on a tree and I have a bow and arrow, I have a blindfold on and I just spun in circles. How the fuck am I gonna hit my target if I don't even know where it's at, right? And then it's not just knowing your target, but it's reverse engineering that target down 12 months and then what you need to do in that 1 month and then what you need to do per day. Right? So I already know so down to a T what the fuck my day looks like because it's all like down to 30 minute blocks on my calendar, right? Except for Sunday, it's kind of chill, you know? And so it's just kind of already set up in a way where even if I do, like, I guess you could say let it go, right? But I'm not consciously letting anything go. I just do it and then I do what I need to do that day to hit my goals that I reverse engineered.
You said something really interesting to me about paying Cardone $50,000 or Mosey all this money to meet and so forth, and it stuck with me. It's not just the conversation with him, which is obviously really good, but the social proof. Can you go into that more about paying these dudes and being in their circle?
Yeah, bro. Well, I paid, like, bro, I've given thousands to a church. I've given, like, the more I invest into myself, the more I get back, right? The more you give, the more you get. Social proof, yeah. I mean, obviously, that's nice to have fucking Alex Hormozy is the first thing you see on my Instagram. You know what I mean? Cardone, I paid them because I wanted a line of communication with Grant Cardone's top sales guy, Steve Spray. I could call Steve right now. Like I was less intrigued about Grant's info and more intrigued of, I'm a sales guy. I'm a high ticket closer. And this dude just closed me on 37 G's over the phone. He's on some shit. Like, if you're gonna close a closer, you on some shit, bro. Right? So I like he'll do masterminds for my people, right? My community. He'll do masterminds for active income if I ask him to, right? So it's not just a line for me. Plus, bro, you are, and I learned this from Nick Legend, you are only a few pieces of information away from fucking greatness. Period. So I'm going to go find that information. I'm going to go find wherever it is, however much it costs. I don't give a fuck because I know I'm going to get one piece of information. Bro, I paid some of Grant Cardone's coaches fucking like 20K last year, 22 or 23 G's. And I fucking could show you the text because it's a tax write-off, right? It's all tax write-offs, right? And I was in LA for 30 days of 8-hour coaching every single day for 30 days straight. I took one sentence away from that entire investment that changed my entire life. One sentence, I'll give it to you right now. But that was worth way more. It made me more than fucking 200 G's, and I paid 20K. And I went through 30 days of 8 hours of coaching, whatever that math is, that's a lot of hours, and I only got one sentence that I stuck with and I ran with, bro. And it went like this. He said, he was like, Casey, where does security come from? I said, I don't know, money, knowing you have income coming in, salary. And he said, okay, flunk. I was like, huh, okay. He's like, true security comes from the confidence or faith you have in your own ability to go out into the world and create what you need for survival and more. Okay. Basically meaning I could have $1 million sitting in my checking right now. I could have negative 500. I'm not gonna feel different because I know my ability to go get what I need for survival. I know I'm good no matter what. I could lose everything. Mindset. It's an abundance mindset, right? But just knowing your own ability to go, that's where true security and that peace at mind comes from, is just knowing your fucking ability, bro. Right? For example, if you're a bartender, right? And you're just a dog at bartending. Like, you could do fucking bottle tricks around the back and the fucking, you could do crazy tricks as a bartender. You're not gonna trip on losing your job because you can get hired anywhere. Anybody wants that. Everybody wants that. So he's not worried about how much money he's making because he knows his ability to go get a job bartending, right?
So I've always been delusionally confident, but for a lot of people, they're not. And obviously, when you be delusionally confident and then the real world reflects that confidence, it grows on you. Just like if someone goes through shit multiple times, they get over it. They're not afraid of going through shit in the future. How can you help people get that abundance mindset without having done anything?
Yeah, I don't think you can, bro. I think confidence comes from winning. I think the more you win, the more confident you get. And the more confident you get, the more you're gonna win. If you suck at something, of course you're not gonna be confident. Right? But you're not a black belt at anything you do the first day you walk into the gym, period, point blank, right? But the confidence comes from winning, right? It comes from doing it and then winning, right? But there's no such thing as losing, bro. There's only learning and fucking winning. Like, you either, an L is a fucking lesson. That's it. If you look at it as a loss, then you're a fucking loser. Like, that's it. But if you learn from it and get up, and do it again and again and again, eventually you're gonna fucking get it right. And that's gonna give you that confidence.
Give me some practical tips on getting over the fear of failure. That's what you're talking about. People are deathly afraid of failing.
Yeah. dude, you know as well as I do, the only time you grow is outside your comfort zone, 100%. Right? And failing is uncomfortable, period, right? But if you're not willing to fail, then you're willing to stay exactly where you are forever. It's as simple as that.
You gotta be pissed off at your situation enough to be able to be fine with it. I think that's what it comes down to.
Exactly, bro. You can ask Mike fucking Barron, bro. I was the highest paid dude at his fucking company, and I would get a 20K check for 2 weeks of work, and I would be upset. I would literally just fucking I would throw a chair through a window, break a window, take it out of my next commission check. I would literally be so mad, and I was the top, and everybody's like, yo, what's wrong with this guy? Like, he's fucking making cash, right? Got a fucking Lambo outside, and I'm just so mad because I know I could do more, right? And I'm not happy with where I'm at, and my dad's still fucking working, you know? And that pisses me off, bro.
But hold on. How do you keep that drive and that pissed offness with still being grateful for life? Because then you got dudes making hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're pissed off at life. They're not enjoying nothing, and the McDonald's guy's happy.
That's a great question, bro. Gratitude. like, you gotta have a balance. You gotta have both. You know, you gotta be grateful for what you have. But there's a video of Grant Cardone on, if you look up Grant Cardone Obsessed on YouTube, it's a 4-minute video. I've seen that fucking video falling asleep on repeat, bro, just brainwashing myself. He said, I'm not trying to fill a hole. I'm trying to reach my potential. What's David Goggins' biggest fear? It's when he dies, he goes to heaven, and God's standing there with a picture of a person that he doesn't recognize. And he said, this is who you could have been. It's David Goggins' biggest fear, right? So it's understanding that, yeah, you got to be pissed off for success. There's fucking 16-year-olds online making more than everybody in your fucking family tree. That should piss you off. That should piss you off, right? But then it's also being grateful for what you have, and it's finding that balance, bro, which I'm not going to say is easy. It's hard.
A book that changed my life, How to Get Rich by Felix Dennis, media mongol in the UK. I think he was the founder of Maxim. And the dude made probably $500 million, went through mountains and mountains of cocaine and hookers. And he got to the end of his life. He was writing this book while he's dying of cancer. And he's sitting in his Caribbean island, drinking French wine, writing his poetry. And he's like, holy shit, I could have been doing this 30 years ago. Instead, I kept working my ass off, kept chasing all the stuff that didn't make me happy or fulfilled. All I really needed was $20 million. And I figured out my purpose, and I'm happy on this Caribbean island writing the poetry. I think a lot of people don't grasp that, and they chase the next thing without the gratitude. But where's the balance, bro? Because like you said, the only way you're going to get to these high levels is if you're freaking pissed off. But a lot of these people are not happy at all. I met a lot of people in high places that I would never, ever want to trade places with, you know? And so that's the tricky part. And if I knew the answers, you know, I mean, I probably would be in Nirvana right now. So it's always that balance of finding the gratitude, but also the motivation to keep that thing moving.
Yeah, have you heard Tony Robbins' quote on it? Tony Robbins has a great quote. It's one of my favorites. He said, if you think money doesn't buy happiness, that means you haven't donated $100 million. And I was like, fuck. I was like, that's crazy, bro. Like, that's a different kind of, different level, bro. And you know, money isn't everything, but it's the best way to keep track of the score. Right? It's very easy to, you know, argue who's a better brother, who's a better husband, who's a better, you know, son, right? But money is very tangible, and you could count that, right? And I think this is, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I think that to a degree or another, this is like, this thing called life has a very, like Kevin Hart says, game-like vibe to it, right? Yeah. Where every game has three things, right? It has obstacles, right? Pushback. It has freedom, right? You can go, you know, you're playing Pac-Man, you go up, down, left. Not obstacles, barriers, right? Barriers, you can't go outside the walls. It has barriers, it has freedom, and then it has a purpose, right? It has a purpose. And that purpose from Pac-Man is fucking eat the little things. That purpose for me, bro, I believe is to help those often left behind. It's to help the guys that are fucking, you know, on drugs and shit, bro. Is the guys that, you know, think that this is all that there is to it. I used to, like, literally say, like, yo, I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know? When I was like, bro, that's the most selfish fucking mindset you could possibly have, you know? Because every second I'm not on the phone or talking to somebody and helping them, I'm being selfish. Because I have that ability to fucking change someone's life. And that's what I believe I'm put on this earth to do. And thank God Sneeko has the same fucking purpose. And that's why this thing works, right?
Beautiful. Maybe I'll check out the active income thing, you know, and give a good a review.
You should.
You're a good seller. Yeah, I think you got a good heart down there. You know what I mean? I think you might be a little shady here and there, but I think you've learned a lot through your... Bro, I just don't trust California people, from my experience, and then dudes that... That is limiting belief. And then dudes that have been on these extreme ends of life, you know what I mean? Which, I mean, I live in an extreme sort of lifestyle too, but it takes a while for me to see, you know what I mean? But so far from our conversations, I think you're a good dude, you know? Like I said, I got to check out this active thing before I vouch it and sell people on it. But it was a pleasure meeting you here. I hope everything goes well with the income, and it was really nice to share your kind of story on here.
Get a little
hugger.
Come on.
All right, buddy. Hit your last stuff. Active Income?
Yes, sir. ActiveIncome.com, bro. You want to fucking... It's not going to happen overnight. It's not rainbows and unicorns every day. I wish it was, but
You know, it could be a game changer, bro. If you apply yourself and, you know that deep down in your heart you're ready for the next level, and, you know that there's potential you're failing to hit, surround yourself with fucking people that, you know, have done it and that have your best interests at heart. And we have that at activeincome.com. So, go fucking, I'll see you on the inside, baby.
Is that your thing?
Yeah, the flex.
Hey, good job, man. You spoke really well.
Appreciate it, bro. That was fun.
Mr. Cox, this was emergency. I just finished up our episode. I apologize for the delay. I told you a lot of things been going on and my normal guy not doing it. But as soon as I finish it, I start talking to you and you tell me you're out of active income. So, of course, I need to address this before I release the episode because it's a good episode. I definitely want to put it out there, but you got to give me the details on what's up. I don't want nobody bashing anybody, but kind of clarify things, please.
Absolutely, bro. When did we talk? It was like a week after we launched, our first week of January, or?
I think we recorded 2 weeks after. I remember meeting you that day when you guys were talking about the launch and whatnot, but about 2 weeks after that, we recorded.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I'll just you know, keep it 1,000 with you, my man. You know, I have nothing bad to say about those guys, you know, Sneeko, Preston, Mateo. You know, I actually really love Preston and Mateo. They're, you know, really good dudes. You know, I guess you could say there were too many cooks in the kitchen. Can you still hear me? I can't see you anymore. Okay, cool. And yeah, bro. So really what happened was a couple of things. Okay. First thing is, we had really high expectations, and come the first week of March, I realized that the time that I was investing, was not even close to what I needed to be making for it to make sense long-term. First off, second off, there was a lot of, I didn't really have control over the delivery of the students. And that's a big thing for me is like, if I'm getting somebody started, I'm putting my name on it, I need to know that they're getting results and delivered at the highest level, you know? And, I'm just going to be honest. Like freaking CEO never even followed me on Instagram, bro. And I made the dude over 400 bands in the first month. So it's like, I just lost a lot of respect for him. You know, just business wise, I think he's a good dude. I think he's a good kid. I don't think he, you know, is very developed spiritually and like doesn't do a lot of personal development. As far as like, you know, learning, I mean, he's a streamer, right? It's a big difference from him and Andrew Tate, right? Andrew Tate made millions of dollars himself, before, you know, teaching people how, you know, how he did it and, you know, connecting people. And so, yeah, man, it was just kind of like, it kind of just felt like a low blow, especially when I left. I didn't even, you know, I said, hey, it was a pleasure meeting you, whoop de whoop, and I didn't even get a fucking text back, bro. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna go do my deal. I'm gonna run it up with what I know. You know, I'm not gonna say anything bad about you guys, but that's the truth, you know. And then it just so happened that the whole freaking sales team followed me because I was the leader of, you know, 90% of the revenue the company was making, and now it's just, you know, I don't even know what they're doing now, to be honest with you. So That's kind of what happened in a nutshell, my man.
Do you think they can change it over there in active income? What about the people you sold already to get into that program? I mean, how are they going to get their money's worth? Or
that's a great question.
Viewpoints?
That's a great question. So we, a lot of them, you know, because, bro, these are human beings we're dealing with. A lot of them just came over and I'm delivering on what we promised myself personally with my company because it's the same offer, right? It's high ticket closing. As far as the Amazon deal, you know, they're still, I can't say too much. And that's another reason I actually left was because I don't have control over the delivery, especially for the Amazon. So I, as far as your question, the students there, a lot of them kind of jumped ship. Some of them got their money back. And yeah, that's kind of what happened.
So you think basically the whole shenanigans was too many people pitching ideas and it just didn't flow properly on the business end with all you guys mixing?
Yeah, bro. And you know, the most Sneeko would do, like I said, he's not here to defend himself, right? But the most he would do would be, you know, talk about it on stream. And, you know, he just had it, the leads were not like, bro, we were spending, I think we spent 40 grand on ads. And like, if you're spending 40K on ads in any online education company, you should have at least a 5 to 10 ROAS, return on ad spend, right? So we weren't even using his audience. Like we were running actual advertisements, and because maybe they recognized the face or whatever, you know, so it just didn't make sense for him to get the majority of the, it just, you know, I just, you know, I, it's hard to say it without, you know, being disrespectful, but just didn't make sense for me numbers wise long term.
Yeah, for different people doing these kind of online universities in the future, how do you think things could have shaped out better if you would have redone it, you know, making this thing?
Maybe if you followed me on Instagram, you know, it would have been better. But, you know, I don't know. It's like, bro, people follow someone who knows where they're going, and he didn't know where we were going. Right. So it's hard to have faith in the leader, you know, in the leadership. If the head honcho is not even involved, he's out till 4 a.m. streaming.
But amigo, you sold him, though. You were in charge of this, no?
Oh, I did. Oh, I got the deal, but it was something that was in the works for about a year before I even, you know, came and introduced high ticket. They were going to do the low ticket, you know, keep it at $20, $50 a month. You know, and once I met Preston, his manager, I said, bro, you're fucking up, dog. Like there's tens of thousands of dollars you're missing, by not having high ticket, you know? So yeah. So I don't know.
So, but you did take those students with you to what you're doing now, and you're fulfilling your end of the bargain with them?
Yeah. So it's hard to even say that, because you don't, I try not to poach, you know what I mean? They're still under that company, and I still have a lot of respect for Preston and Mateo, and I'm not going to come in and say, hey, come to this side. Like, we actually deliver. However, the human being in me is like, yo, these people put their trust in it, and they, and my name's attached to it. So I'm going to deliver no matter what, period, point blank. But I'm not really going into their current clientele and saying, hey, come to this side. If they ask, if they're like, yo, what's going on, then we'll tell them. But yeah, that's kind of what's happening. Everybody's, you know, a lot of people got their money back, and, you know, it's just kind of, it's rough, because I love these guys. I love Preston. I love Mateo. I know they're really genuine guys. I've got to know them very well. I traveled with Preston in Thailand, and, you know, I've known Mateo for almost a year now, and I know they're good dudes, but yeah, too many cooks in the kitchen. Just didn't make sense.
Shit happens. All right, what else you got in the future, Mr. Cox? I know you're, can we say where you are?
Yeah, we're, I forget the name. It's right next to Cancun. I told you earlier.
Playa del Carmen. Playa del Carmen.
So we're moving around right now.
Very little spot.
Yeah, no, we're moving around. I got the whole team coming out here on the 10th. And, yeah, you know, bro, I just want to help people. I just want to, you know, I know how to close high ticket deals at a world-class level. And, you know, there was somebody that once upon a time helped me do it, you know, and I feel like it's my duty, it's my calling to, you know, do the same. It's like paying it forward in a sense, right? This is what feeds my spirit, keeps me going, right? I'm good. I promise you, I'm straight. But now it's like, now it's about impact. Now it's how many people can we actually help, you know, actually start making serious bread online. You always see the people making money on the internet. You're like, yo, where's this actually freaking happening? Well, it's right here. It's the middleman. It's the high ticket closers. It's the guys that are working in performance-based income, right? Talk to any entrepreneur, including Andrew Tate. He'll say, if he had to start over, he'd get a sales job, right? And that's essentially what it is, just with a nice compensation plan.
Great margins. So are you going to do it on your own website, your own little company? Is that what you're going to do?
Capital Catalyst, baby. Yes, sir. Capital Catalyst. I'm not really promoting it too much right now. Right now, I'm just kind of working with it. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day, and you can't learn football in a classroom. I think I said that before. So it's like, you know, you got to have hands-on, like, attention, real coaching. So we capped it right now. We're not taking any more students, but we'll be opening up, I'm sure, shortly, as people graduate and start getting placed.
All right, buddy. Hey, I appreciate you coming on and sharing kind of what happened. I like to be very transparent with my audience, no matter how niche it is. So that is great. It was great to know you. I hope to stay in contact, and I hope it all works out for you, okay?
Likewise, my bro. It was a pleasure, bro. We'll talk. We'll be in touch.